I thought she was coming to the choir.
He's coming to the choir, didn't he?
looking for choir members, past, present, future choir members. Anybody? Gary's gone, but the good Lord's still here. We miss Gary. We don't nothing to happen to him. I miss him. I'm glad you're here. We'd love to have you in the choir. Anybody feels like coming? If you don't even feel like it, come on, please.
Ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for everything you've entrusted us with. And Father, help us to be obedient and given as you would have us to. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each one. We pray, Father, that you give us wisdom in handling your money, that we'd be good stewards. And Father, we just pray and ask you for direction in every area of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. accidental. I was on my way to Virginia and to work, and Rhonda got a hold of me just before I got out of the phone. Anyway, we come to the hospital, and when he walked in, and all the family gathered around him there in the emergency room, and he looked up, and I'll never forget this, long as I live. He said, "It's good to have good family."
Amen.
And you know what? I'm thinking about that, and I thank God I've got good family.
Amen.
I've got a good family.
Bless
I've got
God.
A good church family.
Bless
Boy, I'm so Amen. Thankful that
Amen.
I didn't think I'd ever top limestone as a church family, but I believe I have.
Bless Him.
Amen.
And I thank God for this church family. But boy, Bless greater God. Than that, I thank God
Amen.
For the family.
Amen.
And I've got a daddy that sent his son to die for me.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I'm a part of the family of God.
Bless
I mean, I don't belong here as bad as I am, but praise God
Amen.
I belong.
Amen.
I don't belong here, but I'm part of that family.
Amen.
And boy, the devil can't take that away.
It's
signed, sealed, and I'm
Bless
a child of the living God.
Amen.
Boy,
Amen.
I'm Amen. Glad to be part of that family.
Amen.
Thank you for
Bless
that song.
God.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
Amen. Y'all turn to number 674 and sing along with us. Number 674. When we see Christ. I've been thinking about this song, and I was singing it on the way to church. And I mean, don't matter what you go through here, it's going to be worth it all when we see Him. So I'm thankful that one day we'll get to look upon His face and see Him. So sing along with us, number 674.
To burn and despair.
Just before the message, Brother Dennis got a song on his heart. He may want you, Janice. I don't know.
It's too good to have one.
Sorry, I just had this song on my heart for quite a while, so I was flipping back through it, looking at it this morning while I was just singing. This is for somebody, so might be for me.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found him in a friend so strong and true. Would love to tell you how he I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found him in a friend. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Cares for us, don't
he? All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I never know just why he came to save me. Never understand. So unworthy to be standing here. Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
like that.
Amen.
Other folks may let us down, but he never will, I think. Does anyone else have anything on your heart this morning? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke chapter 8. Very familiar passage. Probably heard this preached many, many times, but I just felt the Lord laid on my heart to bring this morning. And starting at verse 26, if you would stand with me, an honor if you feel like standing today. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command him to go into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to go into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything that's been done this morning. And Father, may you be exalted in everything we do. And I pray, God, you'd anoint the preaching. You'd touch old preacher boy one more time. And Father, I'm unworthy to be here, but Lord, this is where you placed me, and I'm thankful for it. Make me usable today. God, add your blessings to the word and touch and anoint in a special way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've had on my mind, and the title, I put a title of this message, Breaking Chains. And the Lord had stirred me for a few days. And then when I really got down to start on this message and put it together, the Lord took me a total different way than way I'd originally had started. So if you just bear with me and hang on this morning. But in Ephesians 4 and verse 27, the Bible says that Paul was here giving advice to new Christians and the way they should walk. And he said in verse 27 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, "Neither give place to the devil." And I think it may have been brought up last week somewhere. I heard talking about don't never, I believe they sung it last Sunday morning, but said don't never let the devil ride with you because he always ends up driving. And that's about the way it is. And Paul said don't give place to the devil. And also, if you look in James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And then in Romans chapter 6, it of course is a tremendous, tremendous chapter about sin. In Romans 6:15, it says, "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." Won't you listen to 16? "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey,
rather of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So this morning I want to look, and this passage here that I have just read here in the book of Luke is a perfect picture of someone that has yielded their life to sin, that has went the way, not the way of righteousness, but with the way of sin, with the way of the world, with the way of living it up, what's good for me, what I like to do, what the world says I need. And they say this is someone, a picture of a life that has been committed to live with no boundaries. And as I looked at this, and Dr. Samuel Johnson had said, habits are chains that are too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Well, now, I seen that, and that really struck with me. Habits are chains that are too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. And as I looked at this passage, and the Lord really opened my eyes in a couple of things here that I never had thought about, it, especially in this passage. I read an illustration. When the Bastille prison in France was about to be destroyed, one of the prisoners was brought out who had been long chained in one of its dark cells for decades. But instead of rejoicing at his liberty, he begged them to take him back to the dungeon. You see, it had been so long since he had seen the sun, a light, that his eyes could not stand the glare of the sun. And besides, he said, his friends were all dead, he had no home, and his legs refused to move. His main desire now was to go back and die in the dark prison where he had been held captive so many years. What a sad, true story of how of habits had bound him, and he'd had habitually was in that cell, and that's all. It had him bound by the chains. And as it looked today, I'm so afraid that there's so many people in the world today is so tied up in the habits of living in darkness that they give up the light and die in the darkness. That they don't want to give up what's been in their life so long, and they don't want to change and come out of the darkness into the light. And verse 27, I want to look, and the first thing that I see here is the chains of habit. Verse 27 said, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He had some habits here that he was known of. He was known, it wasn't nothing unusual to see him going around with no clothes on. It wasn't nothing unusual that he was not in the house, and when it come time to go to bed, he didn't go home. It wasn't unusual that he dwelled among the tombs. This was habits that had been in his life, and this is where he was now. And I want to look, see, the Bible said that he had devils for a long time. The devils, he had been and give place to the devil. He had allowed Satan to enter in him. He had allowed the devil to move in his life and take over. The devil was now driving. And the Lord has this stirred my heart and wanting us to, some of the habits that we have in our lives, that they're habits that'll make who we are. We have to be careful with these habits. See, it said he wore no clothes. You know, in Jeremiah 6:15, the Bible says that, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. I'm telling you, we live in the world today where people's quit blushing. We live in a world today where the people is not ashamed to do anything. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, or chapter 2, when it said God had made man and woman and said they were naked, and they were not ashamed. The innocence was in it, and there was no shame about it. But in chapter 3, when they sinned, they sewed them up some clothes. They thought they needed to get dressed up because they were ashamed to be naked. Boy, I wish there'd be some people ashamed today. The shame is gone. It's because of habits habitually getting us to that point. It's because of companies that's wanting to sell their product, and that's the things they use to sell them, and we've bought it hook, line, and sinker. Habits of things that we allow. See, God had said that Adam and Eve sewed some fig tree leaves together and made them clothes. When God come in on the scene, he killed animals and give them a full dress. He also said in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, men are to dress like men and women are to dress like women. They're not to mix their clothes. It's some guidelines. And over in the New Testament, the Bible says that we are to dress modest. Not look like the world. Not be shameless. I mean, we're Christian folks. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and our habits ought to look like Jesus. The Bible goes on to say, it said, neither bode in any house. You know, when I thought of that and I looked at this passage, and I said, boy, the devil is the same today as he was then, wasn't he? He's after your house. He's after your home. He's after your marriage. It's important that we watch what we do. This guy had a family. Evidently, later on in the passage, he says, go back home. Jesus said, I want to go with you. Or he said, I don't go with you, Jesus. And he said, no, you go back home. So he had a home to go to. He probably, I believe he had children. I probably think he had a wife. He had family that loved him. But instead of being home, he had a habit of being up in the tombs. He had a habit of running around naked. He had a habit of being in things that he ought not been involved in. Boy, when I looked at this and God just opened my eyes and I said, wow, that sounds like America today. Instead of being at home with the family, the men's out doing whatever. Instead of being home with the family, the women's out involved in things. It's just old tricks of the devil that's always been around. He's not smart enough to come up with anything new. He just used the same thing over and over. I don't guess he has to. We keep baiting it, don't we? But I was thinking about these things. You know, Jesus is the only one that cares about your home. Jesus is the only one that will bring your home together and will save your marriage and will make your house a home. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your testimony. He wants to kill your witness. He wants to steal your purity. And he wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your relationship with your kids and with your parents. That's his goal, to get in and divide the home. God ordained the home. He made Eve and brought her to Adam and gave him to her and said, now, Adam said, she's now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. And God said, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. He ordained the home. I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll get so involved in things that we'll forget the home. There's been a lot of homes split up because of work schedules. There's been a lot of homes split up because of athletic things. I couldn't get the word I was trying to say. Addiction is what it is. And been a lot of homes split up for out partying and drinking, running with the buddies. Been a lot of homes split up of a lot of things, and the devil has worked right in, and it's been these little habits that has got and cultivated and turned the lies in and destroyed the home. I don't know why God's dealt and stirred me this way this morning, but He is concerned about your home. He's concerned about your family. He's concerned about your well-being. He wants you to be what He has designed us to be. See, so often, so many marriages and families been destroyed by drugs and alcohol and immorality. And we've allowed the devil to slip right in and steal our families from us. When these things get a hold, they'll draw you away and entice you and take you right straight to hell. The Bible also said, but he dwelled in tombs. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. When you talk of tombs, you're talking of sin. You're talking of death. When I looked at this, I thought about this, and it just come over, and this verse come to me, and God just stirred my heart and said, it's sin is the problem here. When you think about tombs, you think about death, and what brings death is sin. Sin is the culprit. Sin's the problem. Sinful habits will take you to hell this morning. And will take everything that you've ever worked for. See, we can never have abundant life with sinful habits. It'll never happen. We'll never rise above and be everything God wants you to be as long as we allow sinful habits in our lives. We'll always be bound. We're servants, you remember I read, to whoever we yield ourselves to. If it's the devil and to sinful habits and sinful things, then that's whose servant we are. Oh, I don't think there's a person in here say, boy, I really want to be devil's servant this morning. Amen. See, whatever the habits are, they're destructive. And they chain and bind us and make slaves out of us. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My daddy was my hero. My daddy's a hard worker. He never missed work. He worked day and night. He never let alcohol, he never missed work drunk. He was a kind, good-hearted fella. He did all right on beer most time. But boy, if he got that white liquor out, whew, it got rough sometimes on the home front. And I seen what a good, kind, gentle man could become when he drunk and partook of sinful habits. He wasn't the same man, J.M. I love him. He is my hero. He taught me a lot of good things. But I seen what when we allow things, sinful things in our life, the hurt that it brings everybody around us. The hurt that it'll bring to a family. The hurt that it'll bring to a marriage. The hurt that it'll bring to little children. Immorality and drugs and alcohol. Porn. Eating. Smoking. Cursing. Abusive. Physically or verbally. Stealing. Lying. Cheating. Anger. Not attending church regularly, not tithing, gossiping, gambling, backbiting, putting off salvation. These are all habits that we allow to come into our lives and will destroy us. destroy your testimony? How do these habits form? I had the question, and when this message started out as a question of when does a habit or when does an action become a habit? I don't know what stirred me up to get to thinking about that. But I thought, when does an action become a habit? How many times do I have to do it before it's a habit? I read somewhere that they said within 2 months, you can have a habit formed by allowing it over and over. And it may take years to break that habit. And I'm going to go ahead and invite you back tonight, because the Lord is not going to be done with this message here this morning. And I have a lot more stuff at the house that I'd been thinking about and working on. And God's wanting to speak to us. See, but these habits happen by a broken chain. You might say, you're talking about chains that's not broken. But these habits come about, and the Lord showed me this, by a broken chain. If you'll go with me to verse 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. When I looked at this and I thought of this, and the Lord just opened my eyes, it was the chains of self-control that was broken. It said here that they had tried to chain him to keep him down, to keep him safe, to keep him back. And he said that he broke the fetters and the shackles off of him. He had broke the chains off of his hand. And so often, and the Lord spoke to me and said, what is happening to our people is that we are don't have chains. The chains of self-control has been broken. We no longer want to take initiative of ourselves and say, I will not do this. I'll take a stand against this. I've got enough self-control. I won't let this happen. And we give in, and the next thing you know, we've got a habit. And there's things out there in the world today that they say one time and you're addicted. Well, I don't want to mess with nothing like that. See, when you're ungoverned by others, it usually means you're under Satan's control. And these chains of self-control, I'm going to use myself as an example this morning. Of course, you all remember I went and got a doctor's report, said I was a diabetic. Man, that tore me all to pieces. I lost 30 pounds. I wouldn't eat nothing. I got back, bad thing, Brother Ralph, I got a good doctor's report. So I started eating a little bit. I had those ribs. And then where I was eating a little bit of fruit with peanut butter on it, I went back to the candy bars. Now my weight's coming back on. And my blood sugar come up a little, but not much. But see, it was my lack of self-control. Of course, I was real ugly at the doctor's office, and I blamed it on Rhonda. He said, you've gained 4 pounds. And I said, that woman that the Lord gave me cooks it, and I eat it. He said, you better be real careful right there. He said, but I worked with a guy, and he told me one day he was having a bad, bad problem. He's a bad alcoholic. We were talking about spiritual matters, and I said, won't you give it to the Lord? And he said, you know what happened a few years ago? He said, I got saved, and I got involved in church, and God delivered me from the alcohol and cigarettes. both of them. Said, God, take it all away from me. But he got back to messing with it again. He's in the grave today. It took his life. It took his family. It took everything he had. It was just that habit that got the chain and the hold of him that he could not break. See, we've got to be careful what we allow to get a hold of us and what we get involved in. The prophet Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had got habits and it became chains and bound them. And they were taking meat from people that they were not supposed to. They were supposed to just put the flesh hook in and get what out. And they took all they wanted. And if anybody said anything to them, they said, I'll take all I want. They was having a sexual affair with women there at the door of the tabernacles. They'd got involved, and God had warned, and God had warned Eli to send a man of God to him. But God took care of the problem. He used the enemies of Israel to kill him. See, God will not let sin go unpunished. He will not let these bad habits that form and things that we do that's ungodly and against the Word of God to go away unpunished. See, they were out of control. In Proverbs 29:1, the Bible says, he that will be an often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Ephraim had got into false idol worship, and God said in Hosea chapter 4, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. I'm telling you, we can come to a place in our life to where we'll cross that God's deadline. We'll cross the point that he and God's three deadlines is the great message that I've heard. There's a deadline and we can cross it if we're not careful. See, Legion was out of touch with everyone. He had got these bad habits and it started out with the chains of self-control was broken. But now I don't want to finish on a bad note. I won't finish and won't be just a few minutes. But turn with me to look at verse 35. See, I want now to introduce you to the chain breaker. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Praise the Lord. The chains that had him bound for all these years, all these habits, everything that was destroyed his life, had destroyed his family, everything that had a hold of him was now he was released. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, I can see the little kids running. Daddy's home. Praise the Lord. Daddy's home. And mama, he's got clothes on. Glory, hallelujah. He's not talking crazy stuff. He's not mad. He's not wanting to hurt anybody. He's coming home to play with me. Praise the name of the Lord. Only Jesus can do that. He's the only chain breaker that there is. Glory, hallelujah. See, he was delivered. And I want to go a step further this morning. What a great deliverance. And if you remember, he said, Jesus, can I go with you? He said, no, you go home. You go home to your family and tell them what God's done for you. In Mark chapter 5, this same parallel to this passage, it says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Praise the Lord. Have you got a testimony? You need to share it. You need to let the world know what God's done for you. Decapolis, this has been 10 cities around. He let it be known to everyone. Then in Mark 7:31, And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst. But in Matthew is the parallel passage to that, in the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. In chapter 5 of Mark, the people said, "Depart from us." Here in this passage in Luke 6, he had cast the demons out. They went in the swine, ran off the bank. They said, "Look, we don't want nothing to do with you. You go ahead and leave. You can leave now." 2 chapters later, from Mark 5 to Mark 7, when he rolled back in, they come running. What's the difference? I believe that man made the difference. He said he went about and declared all the things that the Lord had done for him. And when he hit the shore again in chapter 7, take your sick to him. There's a man that can heal you. There's a man that'll change your life. There's a man that'll give your family back to you. There's a man that'll bring daddy home. There's a man that'll bring the children back home. There's a man that'll put your marriage back together. There's a man that'll break the addictions of drugs and alcohol and pornography and all these other messes. There's a man that'll put it all back together and change your life and make you new. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I kind of like this chain breaker. How about you? Glory, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this day. Thank you, God, for this passage of Scripture that you have given us here. And Lord, it is so good to see, Father, that you work in lives of people. It's good to see it today when you work in lives. Now, God, I don't know, you had a purpose and a reason for this message. Lord, I pray that this time of invitation, God, you'll take it and you'll apply it. Lord, we'll be obedient to you. Lord, will you work today? Will you guide and will you touch? I ask you to get rid of the devil and his evil forces out of this building. In the name of Jesus, send them where you see fit. Lord, have your free will and reign in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Will you come this morning? Since Jesus came into my heart.